Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 14 of Season 8 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast where we FUBAR our way through the 1998 Steven Spielberg-directed Oscar-winning film Saving Private Ryan. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today from Blueprint Review is David Brook. Welcome back to the show, David.
Hello, glad to be back, and we're not out of danger, but our characters are slightly safer on this little mound, so we can kind of breathe a little easier for a moment. Maybe not that easy.
I don't think we're going to get out of complete danger this week.
No, not quite.
We might have a little bit longer to go before we get out of danger. But yeah.
A little more discernible dialogue, perhaps. Yeah.
Yes, that it is. That it is. And that's nothing compared to what we're going to have tomorrow. Tomorrow we get even more dialogue, which is great. You know, I like the combination of both, the way that they do this here.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So minute 14 begins with a vantage shot from the Germans picking off soldiers as they're running towards the beachhead, and ends with Miller realizing that the radio man is no longer of use. So at this point, you know, we ended things yesterday with Miller finally showing up at the beachhead, trying to figure out what his next move is, like where he's supposed to go, what he's supposed to do. We're gonna find out now what he's doing. But the first thing we get before that is, I mean, you mentioned this earlier in the week. This looks like a first person video game. You know, we get the shot of the gun of the German soldier just picking men off. And what I always find amazing is that when you look at this shot, it doesn't look like the beach is that long. It seems as if it took Miller a lot longer to get across than it should have.
Yeah,
from that perspective. I mean, again, yeah. I completely understand why it possibly would have taken him time to get across, but still,
yeah.
You know, just the way that it looks. And to me, it's also amazing. You know, you see a lot of areas that are filled with water.
Mm.
You think it's because of the tide? I mean, I don't know the answer to this. You think it's because of the tide, or do you think it's because of all the damage so water has seeped in inland? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I guess the explosions and stuff, and a combination. I didn't think about that, but no, I think it could.
Right. I mean, I'm not talking about Normandy itself.
And all the, yeah. Because usually the tide. I mean, you do sometimes get your sandbars and things like that, but
yeah.
Mm. Sure, yeah, sure. I do wonder if it's all the explosions and trampling and yeah.
Yeah, but the coolest thing about this shot is you can actually see where Miller and his men are right below.
Oh yeah,
you know they're completely out of range of this machine gun because the machine gun isn't going to be able to point down into that direction, at least this machine gun. But you also see strewn all over the beach, other soldiers that haven't made it this far.
Hmm.
You know, and he just is shooting and picking them off, and you see one guy like stumble, to the right and then to the left, and then falls down as he's getting shot, and a bunch of others, trying to get away. And at this point, we get the shot changes, and we get a bunch of men that are running towards the beachhead. And I mean, this is so heartbreaking, the fact that there's one of them that's right there, and then he just gets hit by a mortar shell and just flies in the air, and he's pretty much gone.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. And then they show us this nameless cameraman that just like shows up and gets close to where Miller is. And we see all the sand around him, and we see you really get the feel for where Miller is right now. And then Miller happens to surprisingly be right next to a radio man. Mm. I don't know how that happened. And he pulls the radio man towards him. And then he says to him, "Shore party. No armor has made it ashore. We got no DD tags on the beach. Dog one is not open. You know, and he's giving the guy his job of what he needs to go and explain to people.
That's the one line I marked out when I was going through this minute is dog one is not open. It was like, what? Do you know what that means?
Yes, they talked about this at the beginning of the movie. They had it on screen. The name of this area is Omaha Beach. I think it's Dog One Green Area or Green Zone. Oh, something like that. I
must have missed that.
Yeah, so Dog One is this area, you know, where they need to go through. But what got me was the fact that he talks about DD tanks. And I'm wondering, what was a DD tank? So I actually looked it up. And a DD tank is a duplex drive tank, which was nicknamed a Donald Duck tank. which are basically amphibious tanks that that were used, and you know, it makes sense that an amphibious tank would then be able to get up onto the ground. You know, the tanks were supposed to, I guess, be moved in much closer in order for them to be able to, you know, to get through the water and then climb up onto the beach. But I mean, according to what Miller's saying here is that you know, none of them made it to the beach, which, you know, in the argument that he had yesterday with the naval guy, you know, the fact that we got to clear this area for the tanks. Apparently the tanks can't come in because of, you know, all of the Czech hedgehogs that are around there.
Yeah.
How many do you think they had on Omaha Beach of these DD tanks?
Oh, I don't know. Tag, you wouldn't have thought it'd be that many. I don't know. Like, six.
Right. So at Omaha Beach, almost all the tanks launched offshore were lost, their absence contributing to the high casualty rate and sluggish advance from the beach. The first wave at Omaha included 112 tanks, 56 from each of the two tank battalions that were there. Each of these battalions had 32 DDs and 24 Shermans. Basically, starting at 5:40, they put 29 DDs into the sea. 27 of them sank, with only two of them surviving the long swim to the bank, to the beach. Some of the crews of the sinking tanks managed to radio back and warn following units not to launch so far out. And the remaining vehicles were hit by artillery fire just off the beach. You know, so again, that was not a very smart move, I guess. You know, because the tanks were designed to operate in waves of up to 1 foot, you know, only a third of a meter high. However, on D-Day, the waves were up to 6 feet. You know, the conditions were much worse than when they had tested them. And, you know, that basically drowned most of these tanks. The fact that they launched them 3 miles out was also a problem because it made it more difficult for them to try and get them across, you know, that 3 mile distance, in order to get them onto the beach itself. From what I understand, most of the crews were rescued, but they were rescued because they were able to get out of these tanks before they sunk. They apparently only lost 5 crewmen from these tanks. So that's at least impressive. I mean, these guys have nothing to do afterwards, but that's something else.
No.
The Shermans that were also DDs that were sent out, they were most of them also sank. They found some evidence that some of them came close to getting to land, but most of them didn't. Yeah, most of them sunk within 10 minutes. And that's interesting. And this is all what happened on Omaha. The other beaches, they had different, you know, the different things with the various tanks. But I mean, again, that's just amazing that they had all these tanks and just about every one of them sunk.
Huge waste. It's crazy.
Completely. You know, because the idea is for them to be able to try to save these, you know, all the men, all the infantrymen that were there and stuff like that.
Crazy.
Yeah, seriously. And so back to Miller. He gives his orders to the radio man, and the radio man turns around. And I mean, this is such clever filmmaking, the way that they do this. Which we'll get to in a little while, why it's so clever. I'm sure as a filmmaker yourself, you can appreciate what they did here about keeping someone in the frame and then out of the frame and then in the frame, then out of the frame, stuff like that, to for the shock and awe of it all.
Done for the payoff at the end, yeah.
And then Miller turns the other way and starts talking to his men that are on the beach, and he goes, "Who's in charge here?" And someone screams, "You are, sir." And then he sees Mike, Horvath around there. He goes, "Sergeant Horvath." And he goes, "Sir, you recognize where we are?" He goes, "Right where we're supposed to be, but no one else is." And then some random guy just goes, "Yeah, nobody's where they're supposed to be."
Yeah, again, it's like we mentioned before, just about the whole kind of confusion and chaos of it all. It's
Yes. Well, anybody knows all about everything that happened on D-Day. I mean, there was tons of chaos of what was going on. There were, I mean, in this movie later on, they'll talk about the fact that the airborne overshot their objectives and things like that. That most of these guys are scattered all over Normandy. All the paratroopers and stuff like that. So even the guys coming on the beach, they won't necessarily know where to go in and stuff like that. So it's very interesting the way that they portray this. So then the camera goes back to Miller, and we see him once again turn towards his right in order to get the attention of this radio man. He pulls something out of his pocket, but we can't really tell what it is. And he lays on his back, and then he pulls the guy up, and he then says to him, shore party, first wave, ineffective. We do not hold the beach. Say again, we do not hold the beach." Like, the radio man once again disappears from the screen. He's like pushed off screen, which again is just amazing what they've done here. Then they show one of the guys, I think it might be Mike, I'm not really sure. Can't really tell, rolling over everybody else as he tries to get over to Miller. Yeah, it is Mike. It's Mike
There's Mike
who's
Mustard,
rolling everyone. Yeah. And then he turns to Miller and he goes, "We're all mixed up, sir. We got leftovers from Fox Company, Able Company, and George Company. Plus, we got some Navy demo guys and a beach master." Okay, so it's really interesting that, first of all, that Mike already knows this information. I can say that I can understand maybe if he knows why they have someone from Fox and someone from Able and someone from George. Okay, that I can sort of understand. But how would he know that they have Navy demo guys there? Is he having a conversation with these guys saying, "Tell me what you're doing"? I don't know.
unless it's the uniforms or the insignia or something. I don't know, but yeah, still, I don't know how he
Could be.
makes all that out in this craziness.
Yeah. And then he says, "We have a beach master. Do you have any idea what a beach master is?"
No.
So it's a beach master is a military officer in charge of the disembarkment phase of amphibious warfare. So if you've seen The Longest Day, they show us the beach master from I think the Scottish infantrymen that were on Sword, I believe they were on Sword Beach at the time, and they have this guy who's there with a dog, who's like this sergeant major that's screaming orders at people. He's the beach master. If you're familiar, have you ever seen The Longest Day?
I have seen the film, but not for a long time, I say. It's another one of these VHS watches a long time ago.
Right. Okay.
That does
Fair
remind me,
enough.
though, something that I should have mentioned talking generally about Saving Private Ryan. One kind of bugbear I do have watching Saving Private Ryan as a British man is all the Allied soldiers seem to be American in this film. Whereas there were certainly a lot of British there and a lot of other nations there. It seemed
But
very, very
not on
British
Utah Beach.
American.
Not on Utah Beach.
Utah, but
On
okay. I was gonna say,
Omaha and Utah.
the Normandy landings, they were from all sorts, but okay. Not
Yeah,
on this
but they're
specific beach,
different.
okay.
It
Fair
depends
enough.
on which beach they landed at. They landed at different beaches. You had the Canadian troops on one beach and the British troops on another beach and a
Okay.
few
Makes more sense.
American troops on that. So again, yes, you're 100%
Although
right. This
throughout
movie.
the film, though, again, you rarely meet anyone. You do meet some French people, obviously, because where they are. But
Correct.
yeah, it is very American.
Right, you have to go to Band of Brothers in order to meet the
Yeah,
Brits. There they find a way to meet the Brits along the way with the whole thing. At this point, I first of all, I love how Mike's helmet falls off as he's rolling over, and then but he quickly puts it back on, and he's able to give his report, of what's going on. And at this point, Miller decides that he wants to give another report, and he grabs the radio man and says, "Shore party, shore party." And I mean, this has always completely shocked me. We see as he pulls the guy over that his face has just been caved in, by something. Like, we didn't even see an explosion around him or anything like that. So it's pretty interesting. Now, I looked up to try and find out who this actor is who plays this this character, and I found him on the wiki page, but it just refers to him as the American Radio Man, but it doesn't give us a name, the name of the actor. But what it says here is the American Radio Man was a minor character in Saving Private Ryan. He was a sailor on detached duty with a USN shore party. His primary objective would have been to act as a forward observer, direct naval artillery fire in support of the landings. He took part in the invasion on Omaha Beach on D-Day during World War II. He fought his way up the beach along with the rest of his comrades. He made it to the barbed wire at the end of the beach and set up a radio position, simply him just with his radio lying down in the dirt. There, he would hear what the officer saw about the operation and would relay the state of the battle to the ships just offshore. He was killed by a mortar shell caving in his face shortly before relaying Captain Miller's updates of no DD tanks making it ashore and Dog One was not open. Shortly after, that's interesting, caving in his face shortly while relaying. Is that maybe British English that you would say that shortly while relaying? If you say shortly, in English, you would, in American English, you
Yeah,
would
it's
say
usually
shortly
shortly
after.
after. No, yeah, you would share. Yeah, maybe it's a
So,
mistake.
okay, so it's missing that word. His radio was also destroyed, foiling Miller's attempt to use it to relay the message himself. So,
According
again,
to
it.
IMDb, have a Corey Johnson down as Radio Man. I don't know if it's the same Radio Man.
I don't know. I did see that also, but it's very possible. They've they leave these things very ambiguous as to whether it was him or not. But
Could be
it's
him, could
still
be him.
quite amazing that I'm trying to look if it's the same face as this
Yeah, I think actually it
guy.
could be him. I
Maybe.
think it could be him.
Okay, so if it is Corey Johnson, so Corey Johnson has 128 IMDb credits. He's still doing stuff today. The things that stand out here is he was in United 93. He was in Captain Phillips, The Moratorian, Morbius. So he's had some nice roles over the years. It's he's from what I understand, he's British. He was trained at London Central School of Speech and Drama,
Well,
and
he's
he has a
born in the
brother.
USA.
Is he? Did it say he was born? Yeah, he was born in
According
New
to
Orleans.
IMDb,
Right. He's born in, but his real name is John Johnson, as opposed to Corey Johnson, which sort of makes sense why he would change that. So again, I don't know if it is him or not, but we will assume for argument's sake that it is him. And that's the way that this minute ends, by seeing a shot of his face, unfortunately being completely caved in, which again is amazing special effects. Even if it's just a dummy or whatever it is, it looks very realistic by the way that they do it. Did you have anything else you want to say about this minute?
Yeah, I was going to add it. Well, there's one thing we haven't mentioned is the fact that, and well, at least after the little bit at the beginning when you get the kind of POV of the gun, and then you get them running over to that little the section, the kind of beachhead. From then on, it's all one shot. It's all completely one shot. Even including the reveal of his face being caved in, which is impressive. I mean, obviously to get that effect, it's easy to switch around with the dummy or whatever. But it's giving you the sense of being there with them. What I also like is, like I mentioned at the beginning, is although they're in, I mean, safety is the wrong word. I mean, still get someone with his face getting blown off, but they're slightly out of the line of fire in a way. But to keep you in the intensity of the warfare, you do keep getting little explosions just on the edge and squibs and things on the edge of, on the kind of crest of the beachhead, or whatever you want to call
it. Right. And also trying to shoot at them, which makes sense.
Yeah. And also to kind of add depth, it looks like you've got stuff on the lens, as though, again, you're like a proper war photographer. You'd get crap on your lens and you can't do much about it. And you get a lot of, you get things flying around the foreground. You get bits of dirt and debris going past the camera. So it's keeping, even though you're in one long shot and you're kind of down, you're away from the less survivable area of the beach.
Yeah.
But it's keeping you in the action. It's keeping you aware of what's going on through sound effects and through this extra bit of depth in there, which is just not a nice technique.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very, very true.
But other than that, I think we've covered everything else that I wanted to talk about.
Okay, great. So every Thursday we have a segment called the Say What Thursday. So this is a little game that we're going to play.
Okay.
I know you like games, David. So
I like them. I'm always terrible at them. My brain, I'm a slow thinker. I'm terrible on the spot, but I'll do my best.
Okay. So the idea of this game is that I will give you five different quotes that are said by actors in this movie in other movies.
Okay.
And so I will tell you the quote and the name and the year of the movie, and you have to try and guess, who is the actor and in what movie it is. Now, there's so many actors in this movie. Every single week I pick three actors that it could possibly be. So your three actors are possibly Tom Hanks, Matt Damon, or Paul Giamatti.
Okay.
So you just have to think the answers to all five of these will be one of those three people. But again, you have to guess the movie. It's more than just guessing the character itself, the actor.
Okay.
All right. So let us begin with the first one. In a movie from 1988, what's fun with playing with a robot that turns into a building?
Oh, I know this one. It's Tom Hanks Big.
Exactly. Very good. All right. Next one. From 2023. Without sufficient exercise, the body devours itself.
Oh, 2023. I don't know. I'm going to go, this is probably totally wrong, but Paul Giamatti, The Holdovers. I'm just trying to think what they've been in.
And you would be right.
Oh, brilliant.
Well, come on, I'm not making this completely impossible. part of the fun is making it something that you can possibly guess.
It did, yeah. I was gonna say it did sound like it might have got in there. Yeah, I'm doing better than I thought. I mean, I'm usually bad with quotes and names. Yeah.
Okay. The next one from 2004. This week is not about me. It's about you. I'm going to show you a good time. We're going to drink a lot of good wine. We're going to play some golf. We're going to eat some great food. We're going to enjoy the scenery, and we're going to send you off in style, mon frère.
I kind of feel like it's Matt Damon, but I'm not sure about the film. Is it one of the Ocean's movies, maybe? I'm trying to think 2004, though. Would it? Yeah, let's go Matt Damon and Ocean's 11 feels like it was before 2004, but I see Ocean's 12. I don't know.
Nope. You are incorrect.
Ah, okay.
So do you want a lifeline?
Yeah, a lifeline. Oh, no, I'm never going to get that one out. I wasn't sure. I don't recognize it.
Okay, I will give you the name of another actor in the movie. Thomas Hayden Church.
It's Sideways with the Paul Giamatti.
That's right.
I should have thought wine. Yes, idiot.
Yes, that's again. I'm trying to do some stuff that that makes it a little bit more interesting and easy to do.
I was going to say, my brain takes time to process.
Okay, That's fair. That's fair. All right. Here's another easy one for you from 2015. I don't want to come off as arrogant here, but I'm the greatest botanist on the planet.
Oh, no, I know this. Oh, sorry, yeah, Matt Damon, The Martian.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, and the final one from 2000. Look what we've created. I have made fire.
Tom Hanks, Castaway.
That's right. So, in other words, these were a little too easy for you.
Yeah, these weren't too bad actually. Yeah, I could have got the other ones quicker, but I think I panic.
Well, you panicked with sideways. That was the one thing
Yeah.
you panicked. But very good. Okay, well, thank you very much for that, David. Hope
Oh,
you
thank you. It
enjoyed
was
playing
fun.
that.
Yeah.
All right, excellent. So why don't you once again tell people where they can find David Burke?
They can find me at blueprintreview.co.uk or by checking out the Blueprint Review podcast.
All right, and finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Move Around Minute. You can find me on Instagram, you can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Twitter, you can find me on my website, moveyourminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to moveyourminute@moveyourob.net. So, David, do you feel like coming back again tomorrow to finish off this week?
Absolutely. Yep. I shall see you then.
Excellent. All right. So, until tomorrow, earn this.
Earn this.
My solitude, you